This episode of the Ortho Bullets podcast will go over the topic of Madelung's deformity from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Madelung's deformity is a congenital dyschondrosis of the distal radial physis that leads to partial deficiency of growth of the distal radial physis, excessive radial inclination and volar tilt, as well as ulnar carpal impaction. Again, Madelung's deformity is a congenital dyschondrosis of the distal radial physis that leads to partial deficiency of growth of the distal radial physis, excessive radial inclination and volar tilt, and ulnar carpal impaction. As far as the epidemiology, Madelung's deformity occurs predominantly in adolescent females and is common in gymnasts. With respect to the pathophysiology, Madelung's deformity is caused by disruption of the ulnar volar physis of the distal radius, secondary to repetitive trauma or a dysplastic arrest. One hypothesis is due to tethering by Vickers ligament. Vickers ligament is a fibrous band running from the distal radius to the lunate on the volar surface of the wrist. It's otherwise known as the radial lunate ligament. Keep in mind that Vickers ligament may be accompanied by an anomalous palmar radial triquetral ligament. The genetics of Madelung's deformity is autosomal dominant. Associated conditions include Leri-Wild dyschondroosteosis. This is a rare genetic disorder caused by mutation in the SHOX gene. SHOX, or SHOX, stands for short stature homeobox containing gene. It is anatomically at the tip of the sex chromosome. Leri-Wild dyschondroosteosis causes mesomelic dwarfism or short stature and is associated with Madelung's deformity of the forearm. As far as the presentation of Madelung's deformity, most patients are asymptomatic until adolescence. However, there may be symptoms of ulnar impaction and or median nerve irritation. On physical exam, you may notice that Madelung's deformity leads to radial and volar displacement of the hand. In addition, they will have restricted forearm rotation. As far as imaging, on radiographs you can see the proximal synostosis, characteristic undergrowth of the volar and ulnar corner of the radius, increased radial inclination, and increased volar tilt. An MRI can be indicated when there is a concern for a pathologic Vickers ligament. On MRI views, you may notice thickening of the ligament from the distal radius to the lunate. Treatment of Madelung's deformity can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes observation, which is indicated if the patient is asymptomatic, and restricted activity is indicated when the patient does activities with repetitive wrist impaction. It is recommended that patients have cessation of weight-bearing activities until the pain decreases. Operative options include physiolysis with release of Vickers ligament, radial corrective osteotomy plus or minus distal ulnar shortening osteotomy, and DRUJ arthroplasty. Physiolysis with release of Vickers ligament is indicated when there is wrist pain or decreased range of motion. The efficacy of prophylactic release of Vickers ligament in mild deformity in skeletally immature patients is unknown. A radial corrective osteotomy plus or minus distal ulnar shortening osteotomy is indicated for wrist pain or decreased range of motion, cosmetic deformity, and or functional limitations. DRUJ arthroplasty is highly controversial, however can be indicated for a painful DRUJ instability and limited supination/pronation. Significant deformity may require stage procedures. Now let's go over some of these surgical techniques in a bit more detail, specifically physiolysis and release of Vickers ligament and corrective radial osteotomy plus or minus distal ulnar shortening osteotomy. The approach to physiolysis and release of Vickers ligament is the volar approach to the distal radius. The technique involves releasing a pathologically thick ligament. The ligament is approximately 0.5 to 1 centimeter in diameter. And finally, you will perform bar resection and fat grafting in the physis. The goals of a corrective radial osteotomy plus or minus distal ulnar shortening osteotomy is to restore the mechanics of the distal radius. The approach is the volar approach to the distal radius, and with respect to the technique, severe deformities may benefit from a stage procedure with initial distraction external fixation to avoid neurovascular stretching injury of a single procedure. Keep in mind that a codome osteotomy allows correction of coronal and sagittal deformity. Some complications in general to mention include incomplete physiolysis or premature growth arrest, violation of the radiocarpal or ulnocarpal joint, incomplete deformity correction, recurrent deformity, non-union of the osteotomy site, and continued ulnar impaction if radial osteotomy is done alone. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, which of the following skeletal dysplasias is caused by a sex-linked mutation of the short stature homeobox or SHOX gene? And the choices are 1, cladocranial dysplasia, 2, Leri-Wild dyschondroosteosis, 3, pseudoachondroplasia, 4, Ellis van Creveldt or EVC syndrome, and 5, achondroplasia. The correct answer to this question is 2, Leri-Wild dyschondroosteosis. So Leri-Wild dyschondroosteosis is a skeletal dysplasia characterized by short stature and bilateral Madelung deformities of the wrist. The SHOX gene is located on the X and Y chromosomes, and a mutation on either of the sex chromosomes leads to the dysplasia, and therefore it is characterized as sex-linked dominant. To quickly review, a Madelung's deformity is a result of disruption of the volar ulnar physis of the distal radius, leading to radial inclination and a radial palmar tilt. Symptoms from the wrist deformity include ulnar carpal impaction, restricted forearm rotation, and median nerve compression. Cladocranial dysplasia is an autosomal dominant defect in CBFA1, a transcription factor that activates osteoblast differentiation. Pseudoachondroplasia is an autosomal dominant mutation in COMP on chromosome 19. Ellis van Creveldt or EVC syndrome is an autosomal recessive mutation in the EVC gene, causing acromesomelic shortening and post-axial polydactyly, among other anomalies. Achondroplasia is an autosomal dominant mutation of FGFR3. That's all for this review about Madelung's deformity. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.